Open the door to huge savings now at Menards. Enhance the appearance of your home with a new stylish garage door. Choose from our large in-stock selection of ideal garage doors or design your own using our free garage door designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big and ideal garage doors. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, welcome to Stone Cold Stros, episode 8 of season 2. I'm Brandon Strange. I'm joined by Charlie Palillo and Josh Jordan. Read Charlie's column weekly on sportsmap.com and follow him on X at Palillo. Follow Josh at JoshJordan975 on X and read his work daily on sportsmap.com. Charlie, a sweep at the hands of the rival Yankees isn't an ideal way to start the season. Which is the bigger Astros killer right now, Juan Soto or Minute Maid Park?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Look, no one sane should be feeling around for a ripcord on the season. A four-game losing streak in June, July isn't a lot of fun. If it comes at the hand of the Yankees, it's less fun. It was bad. We're not here to sugarcoat. 0-4 is 0-4. 7-26. The Astros now in their last 33 games that count at Minute Maid Park. Seemingly impossible, except we know it's reality. It's reasonably inexplicable. The silly little alibi or excuses or grasps at straws. Maybe it's the batting eye. Maybe it's karma. They've just played too much lousy baseball, and sometimes the other team just plays better. I don't think they're going to play at an inept pace all season long, but after last year having a losing record and then, of course, getting destroyed by the Rangers in four games at Minute Maid Park, to come out and lose four in a row to the Yankees to start, so much for washing the taste out of your mouth. That said, again, 0-4, you can't be any uglier than that opening weekend, but they lost 2 1-run games and a 5-3 game. Oddly, the only game that was a blowout was the one game where the Astros got a quality start. Christian Javier, 6 shutout innings, earned runless innings. The Yankees commit 3 errors in the game, but the softest underbelly of the Astros, the bullpen bridging the starters to the closers, fell apart because, frankly, the Astros have a bunch of guys in those roles now who are not legitimate major leaguers. While no bullpens have 6, 7, 8 really good pitchers, the Astros have guys in the major leagues now because they watched their depth walk out the door. By the way, through opening weekend, collectively, Neris, Maton, Stanek, ERA 0. 4 innings pitched. Neris did get the Cubs' only win over the Rangers, so thanks, Hector, for that. But the M&M and M boys for the Astros, Martinez and Montero and Mashinsky, not so good. And then you add in Brandon Belak. And I'm missing Taylor Scott. I mean, you're pulling strings and pushing buttons that you should be only hoping for good results, not expecting good results. But you know what, to me, on the pitching side was the most frustrating thing of the weekend? Josh Hader in the 9th inning Sunday. I mean, they didn't hit lasers off of him. And Juan Soto's just a great, great hitter who went outside on a pitch and laced it to left field. Many closers aren't good at holding base runners. But this was a point of emphasis for the Astros pitching staff in spring training. And Josh Hader, and if we want to throw in Yiner Diaz as the catcher, the dugout, the coaching staff, flat-out negligent, letting Gleyber Torres sashay to steal second and get into scoring position where a single delivers the go-ahead run, and then paying no attention to him. He's running on the pitch, right, the tiny left field at Minute Maid Park. Soto slashes a ball to left field, zero chance to make a play at the plate because Torres is two-thirds of the way to third base before the ball is out of the infield. That was just horrible. Those are things that you can control, paying attention to base runners, and a Hader really, really bad in that spot. There's plenty of meat on the bone for Josh to go after next. I just want to add that while the offense, a clutch hit, anybody? You know, their batting average for the series was .259. The Astros' batting average for the 2023 season was .259. But the Astros hit .275 with runners in scoring position in 2023 against the Yankees, 8 for 41, 195, pretty much 98-pound weakling stuff. But unless you think Yordan Alvarez is going to hit 118 all season, and Chaz McCormick is going to be under 200, and Alex Bregman's going to be at 200, maybe Jose Abreu will hit zero. Unless you think all those things are going to hold up, we're not nearly approaching remotely toward the corner where you can see out on the horizon the end of the road. But like last year, the Astros aren't a great team anymore. They're a pretty good team, which we hope will start resembling that sooner than later.
Yeah, if I'm going to look at the positive first, why not? Starting pitching outside of Fromber, pretty good. I mean, J.P. France on Sunday, I mean, I know his ERA is 4.76, but gave you 5 2/3 in his first start of the season. Only gave up 3 runs, and he's your 5th starter. I think you'll take that the starting pitching's pretty good. Hunter Brown was good. Javier was great. So I like that. What's bothering me, though, is there are some things from last year that were poor, and they've continued in the first 4 games of this season. Fromber, mentioned him already. I have no idea what to expect from him from start to start going forward. Montero, he looks like classic Montero to me. Jose Abreu, my Lord. I mean, he doesn't have a hit yet, as Charlie mentioned. I don't think it's going to turn around. It's only 4 games, but it was such a big sample size last year that I'm not really just looking at the 4 games. And he looks so bad in so many of his at-bats, just quick strikeouts on 3 or 4 pitches. And then Singleton, like, are we still doing this? I know he had a hit on Sunday, and that's great and everything, but could we play Dubon at first base if it's not going to be Abreu or it's not going to be Singleton? I know Dubon's, he's not going to win any MVP awards, but when you're talking about options at first base, backup options, he's a guy I at least trust that if he comes up to the plate, he might get you a hit. And there's a lot of guys in this lineup I don't feel that way about right now. So I'd like to see Dubon get a few more at bats. And then the bright side too, Yiner's looking great. So those are my initial observations from the first 4 games.
I think pitch hitting Abreu for Singleton is like fighting fire with gasoline. Quickly for you guys, are you more concerned by the continued struggles of Fromber, or are you more relieved and encouraged by the overall generally positive performance of the rest of the rotation?
I'll call that a push because Fromber's essential. You know, whenever Verlander gets back, he's essential, but Fromber is supposed to be their biggest inning eater, that you expect him to go 6 innings. Now, a pretty extended period, the second half of last season and in the postseason, he was no longer that guy. If Fromber's going to pitch to an ERA in the mid-4s, that's not going to cut it, and the Astros are going to be in a fight to just make the playoffs. The other guy, Javier, was outstanding, so that's a direct counterbalance to Fromber, the two guys who were not good the second half of last season, who you're counting on to be really, really good. The first time through the rotation, you don't anticipate guys going 7-8 innings, but that Hunter Brown needed 88 pitches to get through 4 innings. That's why his night was over. He had good results, but he was cooked through 4 innings. And with the Astros not good, bullpen depth, you know, if you're going to ask consistently to get outs 5th, 6th, and often 7th inning, because every time you have a lead or you're in a tie game, you can't every time go, okay, Abreu, Presley, Hader, 7, 8, 9. So that is a real problem. France was okay. It was a keep your team in the game start, right? 5 2/3, 3 runs, ERA over 4.5 is not good for a starting pitcher, but 3 earned runs is okay if your bullpen is going to hold a fort from that point forward. But you know, if you give up 3 runs in a game, 4 runs in a game more often than not, you should win if your pitching staff is all right. The Astros just need to do more offensively, because they were offensive, particularly in the so-called clutch spots, runners in scoring position. Yordan was at least refreshingly candid about it, because I think his reaction to himself was the same as anyone who was watching. What are you doing? Just standing there taking 3 fastballs right in the strike zone. When the Yankees went to Caleb Ferguson, and Yordan said, I'm not sure why I couldn't pull the trigger. We'll presume he figures that out. Alex Bregman, I thought, an amusing choice. I mean, we know that Bregman's a very confident guy, but frankly, I'm glad that he switched after just a couple of games. His walk-up music to start the season was Lupe Fiasco's Superstar. I know it's a contract year and all. Alex Bregman hasn't been a superstar since 2019. So until or if he's going to start performing like it again, calling Baton Rouge, how about calling Sugarland for some help for the soft spots on his Astros roster about now? It's not even 1 week into the season. But an obvious, obvious downer. And let's throw in a disgrace that they kept the roof closed. I'm even okay with it being closed on Sunday since it was 78 with some humidity. But ideal al fresco playing conditions Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They have no legitimate excuses. The weather was perfect. The temperature was mild. The humidity was low. What, they think their home field advantage is better with the roof closed? That's what you would call moronic. If that's your position, that's the hill you're going to die on at this point. You know, we have so few opportunities to have the roof open. And the Astros, frankly, could use the fresh air because it stinks in Minute Maid Park and has now for a good while when they're playing there with the roof closed.
I think we should get into Joe Espada a little bit, right? Like, boy, this is a manager that's not afraid to make some moves and to pinch hit some guys and to move the lineup around. I mean, he did what took Dusty like the whole year. He's already moved Jose Abreu down in the lineup and moved up Yiner Diaz. So he's not messing around. At least he knows what he's seeing. So I'm encouraged by that he's not afraid to, let's, change something on the fly if you think it's going to help the ball club. Chaz McCormick, it'd be nice to see a little more out of him. The offense in general, it wasn't terrible, but not great because you have some highlights. Like, look at Jeremy Pena. Yeah, he's still striking out on sliders 3 feet outside the zone, but he's getting you some base hits. So there are some positive things there. But yeah, I like what I'm seeing mostly from Espada. I know we second guessed him after that first game of the series a little bit, all the Singleton stuff. That's got to work its way out, right? Like, he's seen Singleton. He's not a new manager that's not really familiar with these guys. He knows what John Singleton is. So I'm wondering when maybe they get away from him a little bit. And I know we crushed Singleton a little bit in our last video. Nothing against John Singleton. It's just, it's frustrating that these are the options that the Astros have over there at first base.
Singleton doesn't write his own name in the lineup. Right. Singleton could not decree that he's on the major league roster, right? He's giving them an honest effort. The ball that he dropped on Sunday, good hustle to get out there, and he just wasn't able to squeeze it. It's not like Abreu would have even gotten to that ball. But John Singleton does not belong on a major league roster. There is nothing in his professional curriculum vitae that suggests he belongs. And when you pinch hit him just hoping for a lucky homer or a walk, it just speaks to things. But in the broader view, this offense should be fine. If Alvarez is going to stink, if Tucker is going to be and Bregman's not going to be very good, well, then the offense isn't going to be any good. But what reason is there to believe that Alvarez is going to stink, Tucker is going to be below average, and Bregman's going to be sub-mediocre? If your 2, 3, and 4 hitters are lightweights, your offense is sunk. All right, the Astros' offense was sunk against the Yankees. It's not going to be sunk for the season.
Singleton doesn't put his name on the card. You're right about that. But for Espada, there's only so many names you can put on the card. And I agree with you, Josh. I think Dubon's a much better logical choice given the results that we've seen from Singleton thus far. But I do wonder, and again, this is really early, but we can only react to the games that have been played. We can't see how the season's going to play out. So I do wonder. I look at this roster and I see there's depth issues that we've been talking about since spring training. How much rope do Houston fans and media give Dana Brown and by extension, maybe Jim Crane? Because I think even with Dana in place, I think a lot of us still feel that these major decisions, the money decisions that are happening, are still coming from Jim Crane, as is most the case with ownership with major league teams. But how much leash is this fan base going to give him, considering the fact that they do have a chip as recent as 22?
Yeah, it is a very short attention span world. But unless the Astros were to just unravel completely, it's not like they're going to be out of contention. I mean, hey, maybe the Rangers turn out to be a 98-win team and the Astros aren't viably in the race in August. The division race. They're not going to be out of the wild card race. And if you're in a spirited wild card race and you get in and then you make a little playoff run, that's a successful season. The Astros are going to be a victim a bit of their own success in recent years. As I said, they weren't anywhere close to a great team last year, and they're certainly not anywhere close to a great team this year, but they were a truly great team 4 of the 6 years before that. I mean, no one can continue that endlessly. Well, maybe the Dodgers can in the regular season anyway. And in a city that can run hot and cold, a little bit of a front runner thing. The Astros play 500-ish ball at home again this year. They're not going to draw 3 million fans again this year. Sold out the first 3 games against the Yankees opening weekend. check the attendance numbers for the Toronto series midweek while school's in session and we're in early April. But I mean, no one should be kicking the team to the curb. They have a disappointing year. So be it. It's going to occur at some point in time. I will say that Jim Crane, overall tenure, obviously sensational. They're carrying a top five payroll, depending on how you want to measure it. Cash on the barrelhead for this year, top three. But the Dodgers, the Ohtani money, really carrying more. But their payroll is at the high end, but they are nickel-dimey in certain areas. Right? Singleton makes a little bit over the major league minimum. They chose not to go out and get a legit major leaguer as another bench bat first base alternative. A guy who I go back and forth with some on X, a passionate, pretty astute baseball fan. How come the Astros have shown zero interest in Brandon Belt? Well, no one else has signed him. Brandon Belt has had a good career, left-handed hitting, first baseman, 890 OPS against right-handed hitting last year. He'd be a hell of an upgrade over both Singleton and Abreu. And since he's unemployed, one imagines you could get him for a couple, $3 million. So over those couple of million dollars, no, we're going to keep Singleton because he makes $850,000. You know, all the depth relievers, they make peanuts. Well, that's the cost if you give Josh Hader $19 million, the money that Neris, Maton, and Stanek basically make combined. Hader's going to pitch 60 innings. You have a lot more innings to cover that you lost among Neris, Maton, and Stanek, and the guys you're asking to cover those innings, the early indications are, their track records are, they're not going to be up to the job.
Yeah, that speaking of the nickel-dimey kind of thing, I mean, that's your bullpen outside of your big three for the most part, and Montero's making big money, but I don't think you expected him to be great this year. If you did, that would shock me. So, I mean, Seth Martinez, Parker Meschinski, Taylor Scott. I mean, these aren't guys where you're like, oh yeah, I remember all the success they had in the big leagues for that team. I mean, these guys are kind of unknowns and you're having to count on them. I think back to the Jim Crane question, Brandon, I kind of compare what happened with the bullpen over the past few days to the Jose Abreu signing. Like, we all kind of liked the Jose Abreu signing when it happened, and then he came out and had a terrible season. We liked the idea of 7-8-9 with Abreu and Presley and Hader. They weren't able to execute. They didn't get it done over the weekend. A lot of those guys struggled. You know, Hader giving up runs, and Presley's giving up runs, Abreu giving up that home run. I mean, that's so if you're an Astros fan, my point being, I don't think you're upset with these moves. They looked like good moves when they decided to do them. It's just not working out right now. So hopefully, unlike Abreu, I think the 7-8-9 bullpen guys are going to be fine this year. Presley's worrying me a little bit. His velo seems to be down a little bit. Is he what he quite used to be? I don't know. It's early in the year. We'll see. But I think the bullpen guys will be good. Abreu, you know, coming back and being a quality bat in your lineup, I have my doubts about that.
Just to quickly throw in with Josh on Presley, I'm guessing not at all as a lack of professionalism, but I have to believe a little bit of the edge is off for Presley after being the ninth inning guy, Mr. Perfect in the postseason for his tenure here. And he said the right things. And outs in the seventh inning, if you're called in to face the heart of the batting order in a close game, those are huge outs. Yeah, but it's not that ninth inning save situation outs. I mean, even the crowd's not going to get revved up the same way to Johnny Cash when Presley's coming in the sixth or seventh inning as when it's the ninth inning and it's a 3-2 game. And here comes Presley striding in from the bullpen. So look, for the first series of the season, they grade an F. But that's basically the first pop quiz of the semester. It's not anywhere close to midterm or final exam.
Well, nothing against Dana Brown, but I do wonder if we'll look back on the loss of James Click as maybe the beginning of the end for this window of contention for this Astros team. Obviously, it is way too early to call that. Charlie, there's nothing I enjoy more than hearing you stand on business about the roof being closed. But let's talk about some positives here. We've touched on this channel, the Astros are experiencing an acute case of talent attrition combined with health attrition right now. That seems to be this perfect storm that's led them to this 0-4 start. On the pitching front, JB is obviously a big variable. With Verlander and some of these other reinforcements, what are you looking forward most to seeing that can help bolster what seems to be a weak lineup right now?
I think the stabilization of the rotation, the path there, seems pretty clear. Verlander will go out and make his first minor league rehab start of this weekend. Whether they decide two or three of those to build up so that in his first Astros start of the season, you're hoping he can give you maybe 75 pitches. And Framber Valdez getting on the beam. I mean, not like his Tuesday start against Toronto is a make or break situation, but given the way the second half of last season went in the postseason, and he goes out and walks everyone in his opening start this season, you know, it bears watching. And for Framber's bank account, for generations of Valdez's, it bears watching, two seasons away from free agency. But Verlander and Valdez are supposed to be two of the three heavy-duty guys. If Christian Javier gets back to form, not that you anticipate Javier throwing eight innings very often, but as a third solid six-inning guy, and that frees up more bullpen innings where you're going to expect to use more guys on a regular basis in support of Hunter Brown starts, J.P. France starts, Ronel Blanco, whoever else is spotting starts in the rotation. They need to diminish the number of middle relief innings that they throw, because if the back three doesn't turn out to be really good, well, then that's just going to be a season long exasperation. You expect Abreu, Presley, Hader to generally pitch to the form chart, be an elite back end three, but the Astros have had really good middle relief for the bulk of this dynasty era. They don't have that anymore, and so unless they're able to evolve it that way during the season, you need starting pitchers who regularly get you through six innings. And Verlander, Valdez, Javier are the 1-2-3 charged with that task.
I think what I will enjoy the most having Verlander back is that true ace, that true number one guy, where you know when you hand him the ball every fifth day, you got a good chance of winning that game. And right now with Framber, he's just so up and down. You don't know what you're going to get from start to start from Framber. But with Verlander, you know, maybe he's not the guy throwing 98 miles an hour anymore and, you know, getting through eight innings with only one run, but he's still really good. And he's a guy that, you know, if you're on a bit of a losing streak, you're happy to give the ball to Verlander. Like, all right, we're going to get this taken care of. We're going to be back on track today. Verlander's pitching. That's what I'm going to miss a lot. The thing with Framber for me is some of the numbers from his start were good as far as, you know, he's getting ground balls again. He had a decline in that last season. He was getting some ground balls and some pitches were looking good, but it's just the wildness with him. The reason it concerns me so much is we know he can get kind of emotional out there. And when you get wild, it can have a snowball effect, but also Framber relies on a lot of guys chasing pitches out of the zone, you know, chasing that curveball, diving into the dirt. And if you're so wild that you're not throwing many strikes, it's hard to get a big league hitter to start chasing pitches out of the zone when you so rarely throw it in the zone or starting at bat with a strike. That's the thing for me with Framber. He's got to get back to, you know, let's paint that fastball in the outside corner at the knees, that sinker, get strike one, and then let's get going. When he's behind the count and he's, you know, begging the umpire for pitches that are a little off the plate, you're not going to get those calls when you're not consistently throwing strikes. So that's a big thing for me with him. With Javier and Hunter Brown, I'm actually kind of excited what the future could be. If they continue to kind of pitch like this, I know Hunter Brown only went four innings, but it's his first pass through, you know, it's the first week of the season. Hopefully he can build on that. The future can look kind of nice because I don't know how much longer Verlander is going to be here. With Framber, is he going to continue to be this or are you going to go back to being good Framber? But if we're looking at it big picture, Christian Javier and Hunter Brown being solid starters for you, that's going to be a big deal for the Astros over the next, you know, two, three, four seasons.
Also, you know, we look at our minor league, there's not a lot of prospects that you look at and go, oh man, like these are going to be the next big things. But Spencer Arrighetti looking good early. Lo Profito has also continued his good hitting. So at least early, he doesn't appear to be the next Justin Dearden. He's continued his hitting. And Dana Brown's talked about the possibility. I mean, Lo Profito is obviously not going to come and be your starting first baseman, but just providing you depth and another option there. Same with Spencer Arrighetti. He probably helps reinforce the bullpen. He's probably not going to help with your starters, but you need as much help and as much consistent pitching as you can. How much of those guys be of a difference to this team?
On the pitching side, Arrighetti's the one who bears watching. If he has a good first month of the season, the question then is, well, who does he replace? Because you get Verlander back, I mean, Valdez would have to collapse completely for him to come out of the rotation. Javier is totally safe. Hunter Brown was in the rotation all of last season when he wasn't any good from May 1st on. So he's going to be better and be completely safe. So that leaves you France and Blanco. And again, that's six guys. So failing an injury, where does the opening occur for Arrighetti, even if he starts the season very well, or continues to pitch well down at Sugarland? On the offensive side, Brandon, you said something that I'm sure for plenty of Astros fans, the counter would already be, why not Joey Loperfido as the regular first baseman? I mean, let the coffee percolate a little bit, but that he hit a homer in the Space Cowboys opener and chased that with two homers in the Space Cowboys second game. And how long did it take Jose Abreu to get to three home runs last season? And he swung the bat again, just one series of games. Nevertheless, for a guy who was a crappy major leaguer in 2023, he swung the bat like a washed up guy against the Yankees, late on virtually everything, you know, waving at pitches for strikeouts as part of his 0 for 11. He's 37 years old. You know, John Singleton is not remotely worthy of consideration if, well, maybe Abreu at least needed to make him a platoon guy as opposed to an everyday guy. If Loperfido mashes, he turns 25 next month. So this isn't some young phenom. But if he has two, three really good weeks at AAA and Abreu is still staggering around and John Singleton is John Singleton, why not on Loperfido? And, you know, you look at the Astros schedule, they can get well in a hurry if they play well. But three with Toronto, then four up with the Rangers, where they'll get an up-close look at the Rangers World Series banner, and I'm sure the Rangers will have some fun memories to share with the Astros over the weekend. But then after a series with Kansas City, they play the Rangers again, and then they play the Braves. You know, so if the Astros aren't careful, they could be off to an 8-12, 7-13 type start, in which case, you don't give Abreu 3-4 months to round into form because the team is doing all right. And you can just drop him down in the batting order a little bit. Reminder, the Astros were 17-18 through 35 games last season. But that's not 7-13 if they get off to a start that really leaves them in the starting gate. And geez, you're in early May and you're 6-7 games out already. But Abreu was a bad player last year. If a month in, he's looking like a bad player this year, and you have no legitimate alternative at the major league level, because I think Dubon is a super utility guy, not a regular first baseman potential type player. If Loperfido is doing well at that point, well, then why not give him an opportunity unless you're going to go out and sign Brandon Belt as he languishes as a free agent?
I think that's why they traded for Cabbage before the season. They're trying to find options, guys that can play some first base, can play some outfield and swing the stick from the left side. And, you know, Cabbage didn't really work out. He had a bad spring. Loperfido's looking good, but, you know, he's young. He's 24, but, you know, he doesn't have any experience. We'll see if he can keep it going. I'm with Charlie, though. If he's still playing well and Abreu is not hitting, I don't see why not give him a shot. I wonder this, though. I did want to throw this out here. I feel like Dana Brown and Joe Espada are kind of, you know, synced up. The Jake Myers stuff, they all kind of had the same thoughts on giving him a chance every day in center field. I wonder with Abreu, since that wasn't a Dana Brown signing, that wasn't his idea. If Jose Abreu is not working out at first base as the season continues, would he be quicker to make a change over there? Because that, you know, that wasn't a move that was a Dana Brown move. A Espada was here last year. He saw how Abreu played. I wonder how long, like how much rope does Abreu have? Is it 2 months? Is it a third of the season? I wonder just how long of him not playing well, if it continues, will they keep running him out there before they try some other options? I don't know.
Yeah, and Loperfido, he's on no one's top 100 prospect list, so no one should think that, hey, you know, maybe they're keeping the next Jeff Bagwell in the minors. However, the Astros, last 2-3 years, their farm system ranked near the bottom, and rightfully so. Nevertheless, the Astros have rightfully bragged on this. Hey, you know, for this farm system that's not in real good shape, every year they produce someone who's getting Rookie of the Year ballot votes. Well, who's the candidate for that on this roster this year? Answer, nobody. So if they're going to have something else to brag on, that look, our feeble little farm system cranked out another productive rookie who helped us go back to the playoffs. Joey Loperfido is candidate one, and at this point in time, I'm not sure there is candidate two. With Arrigetti not having a real pathway to the rotation, Pedro León, you don't figure is going to crash the outfield party, whereas first base looks like a sinkhole in the Astros lineup. And hey, looky here, Joey Loperfido plays first base, among other positions, but that's a natural spot to give this year's Astros surprise rookie, if you'd want to call him that, if he gets here and performs, his opportunity.
I'm not giving up hope on seeing León just because we need to see what Jake Myers brings. I know he had that home run in game one, but just given the entirety of his body of work, I'm not sure that León wouldn't be an interesting add for depth. You know, I'd rather see a Dubon play out there, but we're talking about Dubon possibly playing first in the outfield. There's only so many Dubons to go around. And not to belabor the point, but the GM-less front office that made decisions in the absence of James Click and before Dana Brown, those decisions loom large right now. If the answers aren't internal, then they can only be external. So it puts Dana Brown in a position. He has to make a decision on, should he go out and get something? What does he go get? And what does he leverage considering you don't really have any prospects? So maybe it's like major league guys. And then also you have to be kind of realistic with yourself of where's your team at? When do you think Dana Brown really starts getting serious about doing something, pulling the trigger on something, whether it's a trade or signing a guy off the free agent bin, like what you mentioned with Belt? When does he make that decision and what does he leverage?
Yeah, I think we're a couple of months away from that kind of thing. On the pitching side, Verlander back, they're going to evaluate what they have pitching and then be thinking that July, August, Garcia and or McCullers. So they're going to be thinking that their roulette bets on the pitching wheel, that's going to be the home.
And Urquidy.
Throw Urquidy into the mix as well. Offensively, you know, first base, the fuse is burning on Abreu. It's just how long is that fuse to where you get, hey, we have to detonate. On this. In terms of a spare part type acquisition, the fact that the Astros do not have premium prospects, that they're going to be unable to swim in the deep end of the pool for whatever the best players who may go on the market June, July, that's okay. Because if you're looking for a platoon outfielder or a part-time first baseman, teams don't give up premium assets for those type of guys. So then you just have to weigh the price that you are going to have to pay for player X, player Y. I guess a silver lining of having a thin farm system is the Astros have pretty much no one in the minors at this point you deem untouchable.
Yeah, I also think when Urquidy and Verlander come back, then all of a sudden, if you just insert them in your rotation, then what happens with Blanco? What happens with France? Do those guys then become bullpen arms for you? So, you know, maybe a lot of this could be stabilized just by a couple guys getting healthy and returning. And then you're not having to count on guys out of the bullpen that they just have so many question marks about, guys that haven't really done it before. You know, if you have France in there and, you know, Blanco was really good out of the bullpen. So that's a role that he's been comfortable in. We'll see if they keep him stretched out as a starter. You know, who knows? But he'd be good in that role. So I think just getting Urquidy and Verlander back could be a big answer for the pitching side. I think on the hitting side too, moving Bregman to cleanup to have him, you know, up at the plate with guys on base, it just hasn't worked out so far. He only has the one RBI in four games and he's hitting cleanup for you. So that's something that's got to get fixed because there has been a lot of traffic on the bases, maybe not as much as we would like, but I noticed Bregman's up quite a bit with guys on. It's not happening for him yet.
Hey, they had a 13-hit game in which they scored four runs. They had a 12-hit game in which they scored three runs against the Yankees. Timing isn't everything in life, but it damn sure counts. And if you're going to hit sub-200 with runners in scoring position, you're going to leave a lot of ducks on the pond and hurt your chances in close games. And obviously, three of the four losses against the Yankees were close. The Astros' record in one-run games wasn't good in 2023, but record in one-run games isn't indicative of excellence. It's just a variable stat year to year. The Orioles last year were awesome in one-run games. This year, they probably won't be. The Astros' core is still good. It's just not great anymore. It's a 1 through 26 major league roster, But I mean, does anyone think a week into the season, you know, if the Astros somehow were to go into Arlington 0-7, that, oh, they're not a contender this year, it's just silly, right? Sample size, point on the calendar, and the Yordans and the Tucks and the Bregmans. What is this? The Jordan movie that LeBron remade, Space Jam. Space Jam. The Monstars take their skills? I don't think so.
You know what's really going to be funny is when the Astros win the division and then we look back at the start and just make fun of all of the panicking that happened. Yeah, that's the ticket. All right, it's going to be another episode of Stone Cold Stroh's in the books. If you enjoyed the show, please be sure to give us a 5-star rating if you're listening to us on podcast. Charlie, Josh, and I will catch you next week. You don't have to wait that long to get your sports fix because Josh and I will probably drop a bonus episode before the end of the week, so look out for that. And also possibility we drop maybe a bonus episode of Texans on Tap. Who knows when that's going to happen? We'll see. But again, make sure if you're not subscribed to the Sports Map Texans channel, go do that right now. We appreciate that as well. That's going to be it. Appreciate you listening to this. And as always, go Stros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold sets up.